wet tea bag in the hot, in the cup of hot water that is Jesus and his word. And the longer we sit in that cup of hot water, okay, the longer we're the water and Jesus and the word is the tea bag. However you want to, I look at that, and the longer the two are together, the more the two become one. The more the water becomes more like tea, the more the tea bag becomes more saturated in water. You get to the point where they have melded themselves together, and one has influenced the other. Peter and John came from a rich family. He was well known. He was well known in the temple even. Peter was well known in the cities. He was a well known mouthy guy. He was known for boldness. Okay, but sitting in front of this group of religious elders who had steeped themselves in the law, in the words, if you will, of the law, were unable to recognize the power of Christ in two simple, ordinary men. They, the Sanhedrin, saw the boldness. They marveled. They realized that these guys had been with Jesus. Can you imagine religious leaders of the day who were looking for a political savior? Religious leaders of the day who were looking for one who was going to come alongside of them. That's what the Pharisees were looking for. Someone to come alongside of them and prop them up. That's the religious leaders of the day. They were looking for someone to come and say, you guys are doing a great job, and I'm here to encourage you, and I'm here to draw all the people to follow you. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They realized that this man, Jesus, who was their enemy, who they believed they had actually conquered by putting him on a cross, watching him die, and throwing him in a grave, they thought that their enemy was defeated, and they recognized that Peter and John had been influenced by Jesus, a man they thought was dead. And they marveled at the influence that a weak, dead man could have on them. You know, as a child, or even as an adult, when someone that I respect, when someone that I marvel at, when someone that I think is an awesome person, when they let me down, I get hurt, my feelings get hurt, I get defeated. You know, when Captain America, not when Captain America, who quit? Iron Man. When Iron Man quit the series, and he's no longer going to be in the Avengers. I was like, oh man, he's one of my favorite guys. What are they going to do? What are they going to do if I'm... When our hero goes down, our hope goes away. When the one that the Pharisees perceived was the hero of these guys went down, these guys didn't go away. They got stronger. Their strength, their boldness grew. Because the faith they had in the one who died was greater, because they saw an empty tomb. And they didn't see the empty tomb as defeat, they saw the empty tomb as ultimate victory. You and I, we preach an empty tomb. We don't preach that Jesus died on the cross and was buried. We preach that 3 days later he rose again, that the tomb is empty, and that he now sits at the right hand of the Father. That made a huge impact in Peter and John. So much so that the religious leaders of the day marveled at how these men could have such great boldness that it bothered the Sanhedrin that their boldness in these two infidels, these two nobodies, their boldness was greater than the entire body of the Sanhedrin. They stood up to a group of men that could kill them just like they killed Jesus. They weren't afraid. I've always looked at this verse and I've always thought, are there people who can look at me and realize that I've been with Jesus. I asked the question in our Sunday school class this morning, you know, can you walk up and down the aisles of Walmart or Target or whatever your favorite place is? I just sin the most at Walmart. Can you walk up and down those aisles and just go, Christian? No. Yeah, no. Or do you think you have to spend time and build a relationship with them before you can know they're a Christian? Do you have to be in their house before you know? Do you have to hear them talk before you know they're a Christian? Because the Bible would tell us that we don't have to have a single word of conversation with them. We should be able to see the Spirit of God in one another. We should recognize that we have been with Jesus without ever even saying a word. Here it says that they had realized these boys had been with Jesus. And then verse 14, seeing the man who had been healed standing with them. Seeing the man who was lame, who everybody knew as the lame man. Again, this is back in Acts chapter 3. It says Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was the ninth hour. It was a time of dedicated prayer in that community. A certain lame man from his mother's womb. So this man was born lame. They knew enough about this man in chapter 3, verse 2. He was born from his mother's womb. He had to be carried, womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Daily at the gate of the temple. This was not a one-time occurrence. Every day at this ninth hour, leading up to this ninth hour, somebody, his family, somebody, his friends, would carry this lame man to the gate. And every day, this same lame man that was carried every day to this temple gate begged for alms. He was well known. Peter, he begs for alms for Peter and John. And Peter and John, as they see this man, fixing his eyes on him with John, so it wasn't just Peter, both of them said, look at us. So the lame man gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And then we have chapter 4 where they are standing, they have been grabbed. Peter and John were grabbed. The lame man who couldn't walk and was leaping followed in. Because of what Peter and John and the power of God through Peter and John did to this lame man was connected to them. I was listening to the radio coming back from Pittsburgh. We were just cresting this hill, and I don't remember what the story was. All I remember was on Caleb, they were talking about this lady who had found a baby sloth. And she was nursing this baby sloth, and the baby sloth would not leave her be. This baby sloth was attached to her all the time, and so she decided she was going to name this baby sloth Velcro. And I thought, I'm talking about this tonight. This lame man, I'm thinking Peter and John, if they had known what Velcro was, would have looked at him and go, Velcro. He didn't run from the Sanhedrin. He walked in to the place of judgment with the two that had shown him the power of Christ, that had offered the right hand of the power of Christ into his life. He was connected to them. And my question to us as a church tonight is, who is it that day after day after day after day God puts in front of us that we are to extend the hand of grace, the hand of healing, the hand of mercy, the hand of forgiveness, the hand, whatever it is, who is it that God is putting in front of us that we can now name Velcro? They become our child. They become our disciple that we are discipling. They become our mentoree that we mentor. I don't know if that's the right word or not. But I look at this story and I think, I need to be more determined to extend the hand of what God has done in my life to the people that are around me every day. And then, wouldn't it be great to have a crowd of people right there with you when you are faced with the world wanting to judge you? I'm just one of those guys that kind of likes to have friends. Standing with them was this man, and it says they couldn't deny it. They couldn't deny. Down in verse 16, they even said, we've just seen a real, my translation says, notable miracle has been done through them. Everyone in this place knows it and they cannot deny it. What are we going to do? So in verse 17, they say, so that it spreads no further among the people, let's severely threaten them. Now, we kind of mock at that phrase, severely threaten them, but you need to understand, this group of people is the same group of people that had the authority and the power, and they carried out the brutal beating death of Jesus. So when they say, let's severely threaten them, this is not a wagging of the finger. This is, listen, boys, you're done. We can't do anything about what you have done, but we're darn tootin', rootin', shootin', fire hootin', sure, not to let you do it anymore. We will take away everything that you are. We will put you to death. This is not just a finger wagging. This is a threat. But Peter and John aren't standing there by themselves, are they? They're standing there with the miracle. They're standing there with an evident miracle, the evident power of God with them that no one can deny. Anybody in this room? Willing to say, I'd just soon not be standing? I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out where I can find me a lame man. I want to start looking in my life where every day there is someone that is put in front of me that I've just been missing all these times. I'm looking for the place in my life where there's someone who keeps asking me for something and I keep giving them what they ask for rather than giving them what they need. Every day this man asked for alms and he looked at Peter and John as if to receive something. He had his hand out. Give me what you've been giving me every day. Give me what the previous 50 people walked in, fling the silver at me, fling the copper at me, give me the widow's mite, I'll take whatever you have. And Peter and John said, I don't have any of that. Here's what I do have. I have Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And the name, which means the authority and the power of him. Come on, get up and walk. I have to ask myself, do I have that kind of faith? Is the God that I say I have that kind of faith in, is that my God? Now, I don't know if there's going to be anybody sitting out this door tomorrow at 6:30 who can't walk. I don't know. But I do know that there are people who come into my life every day who I look at their situation, they ask me here's what I need, and I do the easy thing. I give them alms. And I have to ask myself, am I doing the easy thing because it's easier, or am I doing the easy thing because I'm too afraid to step out in faith and put my hand out and say, come on, lame man, I know your bones don't work and I know your muscles are gone, but as I pick you up, I know Jesus is going to do everything in his power to make you well. Does that kind of faith exist in the church today? I know I want to say it does right here. And I know I want to believe it does right here. But man, the battle that rages here. I know he can. The question is, do I know he will? Father, help us. Because we know you can. God, we know that there is nothing impossible for you. God, you've raised the dead back to life. You've healed the lame, made the sick well. You've given sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and speech to the mute. Father, you've overcome everything in this world. Father, teach us what it means to know your truth. Teach us what it means to know your will for our lives. Help us, Father, where we have those times of doubt and that lacking of faith. Give us boldness, Father, to trust you in impossible situations. Give us discernment of your Spirit, Father, to know when to go or when to stay, when to speak or when to be silent. Father, give us your word. As we open your word daily in our lives, reveal yourself to us, reveal your promise to us, reveal your power to us. Reveal your nature to us, your desires for us. Reveal your will. Father, we want to be a people who are used mightily by you. We want to be disciples of action, in action. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears to you, God, as we surrender ourselves to you more today than we did yesterday, more tomorrow than we do today. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, what's next Saturday in the morning? Reese. My God. Reese across America, we get